بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. The next few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about, in detail about the Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book. And the misconceptions that were there as far as the Ahlul Kitab were concerned. As I mentioned earlier, there are two groups of people when it comes to the Ahlul Kitab. There are one group which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them that they are on the right path. And we are going to go through those ayahs as well. However, there is another group of people that claim to be Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, but in reality they're not really the Ahlul Kitab. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies that matter as well. Who are the Ahlul Kitab? The Ahlul Kitab are those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed a sharia, a book, before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have been following that book, the teachings of that prophet, and more importantly, they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one. So as far as this aqidah is concerned, of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one, and believing in a prophet, not just a specific prophet. For example, not believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the outcome of that? If a person genuinely is an Ahlul Kitab, just say that a person, he believes in Allah as one. He believes in monotheism. But at the same time, he believes in Isa alayhi salatu wa salam to be not, na'udhu billah, Allah, rather a prophet of Allah. Or Musa alayhi salam as a prophet of Allah. So what is the outcome of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we hear, that we learn from the ayahs of Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالصَّابِئُونَ وَالنَّصَارَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلَا خَوْفًا عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Those who believe in Allah, they believe in the last day. For them, فَلَا خَوْفًا عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They have no worry, they have no concern on the day of Qiyamah. However, does that mean that they didn't have to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No. As far as following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believing in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also a must. That's why most of the scholars, most of the mufassirin rahimahullah, they explain that these verses actually belong to the time before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet, then this was the situation of these people. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet, it became mandatory for them to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, when that is the case, in order for a person to actually enter into paradise after Islam was introduced in this world, then it is a must for a person to believe, obviously, in Allah as one, but at the same time as believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
O you who believe, do not take those who have taken your faith in jest and fun for friends from those who have been given the book prior to you and the disbelievers. Fear Allah if you are believers. When you call for salah, they take it in jest and fun. That is because they are people who do not understand. Say, O people of the book, do you accuse us of anything else except that we have believed in Allah and in what has been sent down to us and what has been sent down earlier, while most of you are sinners and we do not follow you in your sins? Say, I shall tell you about the ones whose retribution with Allah is worse than that which you deem bad. They are those whom Allah has subjected to His curse and to His wrath, and He has turned some of them into apes and swine, those who worship Tawhut, Satan, the rebel. Those are worse in their situation and far more astray from the straight path. When they come to you, they say, we believe, while with disbelief they came in, and with the same disbelief they went out. Allah knows best what they use to conceal. You will see many of them rushing towards sin and aggression and towards devouring what is unlawful. Evil indeed is what they have been doing. Why do the men of Allah and the men of knowledge not forbid them from saying what is sinful and devouring what is unlawful? Evil indeed is what they have been working. The Jews said, Allah's hand is fettered. Fettered are their own hands, and cursed are they for what they said. In fact, his hands are outspread. He spends as he wills. What has been sent down to you from your Lord shall certainly increase many of them in rebellion and disbelief. We have put enmity and hatred amongst them, lasting to the day of doom. Whenever they lit the flame of war, Allah puts it out. They run about on the earth, spreading mischief, and Allah does not like the mischief makers. If people of the book believed and feared Allah, we would have written off their evil deeds and would have surely admitted them to the gardens of bliss. If they had upheld the Torah and the Injil and what had been sent down to them from their Lord, they would surely have had plenty to eat from above them and from beneath them. Among them are moderate people. As for most of them, evil is what they do.
See, as far as our aqidah and our belief is concerned, the first and the foremost is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one. Many people ask that how can you believe in a God that you cannot see? How could you believe in a God you cannot see? As far as this belief is concerned, this is not only the belief of Muslims. This is the same belief of the Jews, the Christians. So, and as far as believing in God is concerned, there is something that is there's something that is common in there, as far as that belief is concerned. To explain that, we give them a few examples. Number one is that, subhanAllah, when we look at, you know, the world that we live in today, you know, it's based on technology. The whole entire world now is based on technology. Technology is what is the most ripe thing in society at this time, right? And subhanAllah, whatever you purchase in Future Shop today, you give it a couple of weeks and that's going to be outdated. That's how quickly things change. Phones, laptops, anything, you name it, you know? And for those people who are in the field, they're the only ones who are aware because they have to keep up to date. But for those of us who don't, they lose track very, very, very quickly. When we look at this technology, take an example of a phone. If I was sitting here and if I have a brother who's texting right now, if I send him a text message or if he's sending me a message, you know, subhanAllah, when he press send in his phone, automatically, without anything going in the air, I get this message in my pocket. It doesn't go to this brother's phone, it doesn't go to his phone, and nor do you see anything in the air. It just goes direct. How did that message from there get to here? We all understand that there are signals in the air that carry these messages. There are signals in the air that carry these messages. This is just a small room. You send an email, a message across the world, and as soon as you press send, it gets there right away. It doesn't take any time. It's on, you know, it's just the click of a button. That's it. But you don't see anything transforming in the air. Nothing is going through. When we realize that, subhanAllah, signals have this such power, and there are signals going through, messages going back and forth, we're not seeing anything in the air. And subhanAllah, they have only discovered this in the last 30 years. That, you know, there's things like this. In the most remote places in the world, where, you know, they don't have proper houses, but they have internet. Their computer is worth more than their house. Their iPhone is worth more than their house. But they have that and they care of that, they don't care about their house. There's not a single place, you can hardly find a place in the world where you don't have signal now. You can find it everywhere. It wasn't there before, it was always there, we just discovered it now. Do we see these signals? We don't see any of these signals. A person who has never been to a very popular country, or any country in that matter, For example, a person has never been to Malaysia. He has read about it. He has heard about it. He has seen pictures. He knows people who have been there. But he himself hasn't been there. Is he going to now deny the fact that Malaysia doesn't exist because I haven't been there? I haven't seen it with my own eyes? He will never do that. Forget Malaysia. Just look at our own system, our body. All of us know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us organs that we have within our bodies. He has given us a heart, He has given us lungs, He has given us a brain. But if we always put this in front, that until I don't see it, I don't believe it, then the same thing will apply to our person's mind, a brain. That yes, a physician, a doctor can take x-rays of it. We know that they have told us about it. We know that it exists. But if a person foolishly is just going to say, until I don't see this, I don't believe that it's there. My heart isn't there. Subhanallah. I mean, who could be a more foolish person than this? A person during the time of the Tabi'een, there was an invitation that was given to one of the greatest scholars of our time, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. And when they gave him an invitation to come, he was supposed to come and deliver a speech to non-Muslims, to a group of people who were atheists. So they waited. The entire day went by and the Imam didn't show up. Finally, late at night, after Maghrib, when it was dark, that's when the Imam came. In order for him to get to that town, he had to go from his town to the other town, was a river. In order to get to that other town, he had to take a boat. So he got there at Maghrib. So they asked him, "Why? You know, what happened? Was everything okay? What made you come so late?" So he said, "You know, the reason why I came late was I didn't have a boat. And as a result, I wasn't able to come." So they said, "Where did you get this boat from?" So he said, "Then you know, as I was at the riverbank and I was waiting for a boat to come, I didn't see any boat going by. I waited. Finally, I saw a plank of wood in the water. And this big chunk of wood started to get into pieces by itself. And as this big piece of wood started to get chopped up by itself, I saw that it started to get together by itself and getting into a shape of a boat." And they're just looking at him. Then, you know, you couldn't come up with any other story. You know, we consider you such a great scholar, Imam, and this is what you have to tell us. And he said, "I'm not done yet. Then I saw the nail started to go inside the boat by itself. And then the whole entire boat became together. It was almost close to Salatul Asr. I got into the boat, but I didn't have pedals to move the boat. And all of a sudden, I see another plank of wood going by. And that big chunk of wood became half, and they became, you know, the pedals. So I got a hold of that. So I was able to make it now. I was able to come to your place now." So he said, "You know, you could have thought of something else. This is the only thing." They said, "You really want us to believe that, you know, this boat got together by itself and the planks of wood just got together and all the nails started to go in by itself and then you sat in the boat and another piece of wood just came and then the pedals came? You really expect us to believe this?" So the Imam, he said that, "You know, if you don't believe this, then how do you expect the entire world to just come together by itself? The sun, the moon, all these humans, all the animals, the fish, the stars, everything. You think all of that just came by itself?" That was enough for them to accept Islam. So, as far as our belief is concerned, you don't have to see it in order to believe. That is not the case. If we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the game is over. Then the fact of believing in Allah is over. We believe because we can't see. If we can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we wouldn't call that iman. That's not called believing anymore. When you can see something, you can see this door right here in front of you, you're not going to say, "I'm believing in the door now." You're seeing the door. When we say we believe in Allah, automatically that is telling us that we are believing in the unseen. We can't see it. If I tell you that I have keys in my pocket or I have an envelope in my pocket, you're just believing in what I'm seeing. I'm saying. But when I take it out and show it to you, then that is not called believing anymore. That is not called seeing. So this is one thing that is in common between Christians, Jews, and Muslims. Monotheism. Where do we go apart now from the Jews and Christians and Muslims? The thing that separates these three groups, which are the largest, you know, religions in the world, is just because of the prophets. That's it. And now when we look at prophets, you know, obviously Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is, you know, the prophet of the Jews, the Bani Israel. No doubt, Quran mentions about it. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a prophet of the Christians. Those who believed in him, and at that time, they were the true believers at that time. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he was sent as a prophet for entire humanity. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was sent for his group of people. Isa alayhi salam was sent for a group of people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam wasn't just confined just to a group of people. His teachings were to be followed until the day of Qiyamah. So where do we go apart? We go apart when it comes to the belief of prophets and the belief of books. As far as believing in Musa alayhi salam, believing in Isa alayhi salam, it is a must for a Muslim, for a believer to believe in that, to believe in these prophets, give them their full respect. To believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to follow him is our greatest duty. It is our biggest duty that we have to and we must comply with. As far as the books are concerned, the same thing that we say. As far as the Bible is concerned, as far as the Torah and the Injil are concerned, we believe in them as they were sent down to their prophets as the true books of that time. The books that exist, they have been distorted, they have been changed, and the Quran mentions about that. And subhanAllah, we know that every couple of years, the Torah, Injil are changed according to how they want it. And you give it a couple of years, you know, whatever exists today in the Bible that exists in the Torah, you just give it a couple of years and that will be missing and something else will be added. Quran is the only book that has never been changed. It continues to stay the same. Obviously, this is a miracle of Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself has preserved it. So this is where we go, where we have our differences. As far as the beliefs of prophets and our beliefs of books. What we say to them is that look at Islam. It is accommodating all three. It respects Musa alayhi salam. It respects Isa alayhi salam. And it also obviously respects Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Bani Israel, they take out Isa alayhi salam. They take out the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On the other hand, the Christians, they take out Musa alayhi salam. They take out Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Say, look at us. We accommodate all of them. We take Musa alayhi salam, we take Isa alayhi salam, we take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we take all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Any person rejects any prophet that is mentioned in Quran or through the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is out of the fold of Islam. If a person does not believe, just say that someone says that I don't believe in Dawud alayhi salam, he is out of the fold of Islam. Why? Because it is mentioned in Quran. A person doesn't believe in Musa alayhi salam. This is something that is very deep. We need to understand that when we have a conversation with our non-Muslims who are Christians or Jews or claim to be Christians or Jews, we need to explain to them that how much respect we have for Isa and Musa alayhi salam. Not only respect, that if we don't respect them and we don't believe in them, we are out of the fold of Islam. Many people have this concept that Islam is a religion that was introduced by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. It wasn't like that. Our concept of prophethood and the concept of religion goes back all the way up to Adam alayhi salam. All the way back to Adam alayhi salam. That whoever followed Adam alayhi salam as a prophet and believed in Allah as one, they were the Muslims of that time. Next prophet who came, they followed him, they followed Allah, they were the Muslims of that time. Musa alayhi salam, they followed him, they followed Allah, they were the Muslims at that time. Isa alayhi salam, no different. They followed Isa alayhi salam, believed in one Allah, they were the Muslims at that time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't do anything different. He was in the same chain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, he was the one to be followed, his teachings were to be followed, believe in Allah, they are the Muslims at that time. That's how simple it is. Yeah.
O Messenger, convey all that has been sent down to you from your Lord. If you do not, then you shall not have conveyed his message at all. Allah shall protect you from the people. Surely Allah does not lead the disbelieving people into the right path. Say, O people of the book, you have nothing to stand on unless you uphold the Torah and the Injil and what has been sent down to you from your Lord. What has been sent down to you from your Lord will certainly make many of them more persistent in rebellion and disbelief. So do not grieve over the disbelieving people. Surely those who believe and those who are Jews and the Sabians and the Christians, whoever believes in Allah and the last day and acts righteously, shall have no fear, nor shall such people grieve. Certainly we took a pledge from the children of Israel and the messengers to them. Whenever a messenger went to them with what did not meet their desires, they cried lie to some and killed others. They thought that no harm would follow. Therefore, they became blind and deaf. Then Allah accepted their repentance, but again they turned blind and deaf, many of them. Allah is watchful of what they do.
So, the first ayah, surely those who believe, and those who are Jews, and the Sabi'een, and the Christians. So, those who believe, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. And those who are Jews, those who followed Musa alayhi salam, followed the actual Torah that was sent down, not the distorted version, and the Sabi'een. Who are the Sabi'een? Sabi'een are a group of people who are righteous people. They believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one. And as far as believing in which prophet, wallahu a'lam, we don't know any details of that. But we know this much, that they had the belief of monotheism, of believing in only one God. And same thing as Christians. So if they believe in Allah, they believe in Allah, and they believe in the last day, and they act righteous, they have no fear, they have nothing to worry about. So we don't say that, look, all Christians and Jews, they're all going to hellfire because, no, subhanAllah, this is not what Quran is saying. Quran is saying, yes, Christians and Jews, they will go to Jannah as long as they follow the proper teachings. As far as they follow their proper teachings of the Prophet that they follow, whether it be Musa alayhi salam or Isa alayhi salam, they follow the proper teachings that were sent down to them from that time, not what exists today. Same thing, that they believe in Allah as one, not in Trinity. They don't believe in, you know, having Allah as three and that three is one. SubhanAllah, that's not the case. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here, the Christians and Jews, are the ones who believe in Allah as one. And they believe in the teachings of the Prophet that was sent down from that time. The reason why I'm mentioning this is because today that 99.9% of the time does not exist. That the teachings of Musa alayhi salam and the teachings of Musa Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the actual and in the original teachings, cannot be found anywhere. Why? Because it has been distorted, it has been changed.
Surely disbelievers are those who say, Allah is the Masih, son of Maryam, while the Masih had said, O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. In fact, whoever ascribes any partner to Allah, Allah has prohibited for him the Jannah, the paradise, and his shelter is the fire, and there will be no supporters for the unjust. Surely disbelievers are those who say, Allah is the third of the three, while there is no God but one God. If they do not desist from what they say, a painful punishment shall certainly befall such disbelievers. Why then do they not turn to Allah in repentance and seek His forgiveness, while Allah is most forgiving, very merciful? The Masih, son of Maryam, is no more than a messenger. There have been messengers before him. His mother was very truthful. Both of them used to eat food. Look how we explain signs to them, then see how far they are turned away. Say, do you worship besides Allah what has no power to do you harm or bring you benefit? Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. Say, O people of the book, be not excessive in your religion unjustly, and do not follow the desires of a people who have already gone astray, misled many, and lost the right path.
See, when we recite Surah Fatiha in our Salah, at the end of Surah Fatiha we recite غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. As far as غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ, O Allah, keep us on the straight path, not of the path on غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ, on whom your wrath has occurred. Who are these referring to? The Bani Israel. Because of their wrongdoings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them time and again. Again and again they have been cursed. We find out from Quran, because of their wrongdoings. وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. And O Allah, don't make us amongst those who you have made astray. Referring to the people of the followers of Isa alayhi salam, that they did not keep Isa alayhi salatu wasalam on the level as of a prophet. Rather, did they took him beyond. As far as respecting a prophet is concerned, obviously respecting any prophet in that matter, even respecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. At the end of the day, we know where his position stands, that he is on the position of a prophet. Anyone who takes even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam beyond his position is out of the fold of Islam. If a person takes Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, na'udhu billah, on the same level of Allah, he's out of the fold of Islam. Attributing and putting any type of attributes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam which are similar to the attributes of Allah, a person is messing with his aqeedah. For example, a person who claims that, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has the knowledge of the unseen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is aware of everything that is happening. He has knowledge of everything that is there. That type of aqeedah is incorrect, and it can take a person out of the fold of Islam, because the only person who has that type of knowledge is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not have knowledge of unseen. Yes, there were some incidents and where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed by Allah about something that was going to happen, and there were only few incidents like that. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was aware of what's going to happen, many of those things, difficulties that he had to go through, he wouldn't have to go through. For example, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew what was going to happen when he went to Taif, we all know what happened when he went to Taif, that he had to, you know, he was made to leave that town, and they chased him out of Taif and they started to stone him. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was aware of the situation, if he knew that this was going to happen, he wouldn't go there. And similarly, all the battles that took place, those battles wouldn't have taken place if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that this was going to happen. Obviously, this tells us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have knowledge of the unseen. Yes, there were some incidents where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about certain things, and that's about it. That's it. That's the bottom line. But having knowledge of what's happening, and even after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he knows what's happening, you know, while he's in the grave, he knows what we are doing today, what we're doing now. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. That's why we recite Ayat al-Kursi, we say, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. He's the only one who is all living. There's no one else who has that attribute. That attribute only belongs to Allah. And if we're going to take that attribute of Allah and put it on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are playing with our aqidah. We are playing with our iman. Same with having this knowledge of ilmul ghaib, alimul ghaib, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ilmul ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen, not Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
On those who disbelieved from among the children of Israel, a curse was pronounced by Dawood and Isa, son of Maryam. All this because they disobeyed and used to cross the limits. They did not forbid each other from any evil they committed. Evil indeed is what they have been doing. You see, many of them take the infidels, the pagans, for friends. Indeed, evil is what they have sent ahead for themselves. For Allah is angry with them, and they are to remain in torment forever. If they believed in Allah, in the Prophet, and in what had been sent down to him, they would have not taken them, the pagans, for friends, but many of them are sinners. And you will certainly find that the people most hostile against the believers are the Jews and the ones who ascribe partners to Allah. you will certainly find that the closest of them in friendships with the believers are those who say, "We are Christians." That is because among them there are priests and monks, and because they are not arrogant. When they hear what has been sent down to the messenger, you will see their eyes overflowing with tears because of the truth they have recognized. They say, "Our Lord, we have come to believe, so record us along with those who bear witness." What excuse do we have if we do not believe in Allah and in the truth that has come to us, while we hope that our Lord will admit us to the company of the righteous people? So because of what they said, Allah has awarded them the gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will live forever. That is the reward of those who are good in their deeds. But those who disbelieved and denied our signs, they are the people of the fire.
A group of people came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Ethiopia, who were Christians. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to know more about Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited Surah Yasin in front of them. The recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has such an effect on them that as he was reciting, tears were coming out from their eyes. They did not understand what the Prophet ﷺ was reciting, because they weren't Arabs to begin with. They were from Ethiopia. But it had such an effect on them that afterwards, after the Prophet ﷺ completed reciting Surah Yasin, they embraced Islam. And then they went back to their king, the famous king which I'm sure we have read about, known as the King of Najashi. When he was informed that these people embraced Islam and they told him about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also embraced Islam. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. The ones who will be most closest and the ones who will have an effect if you listen are the ones who are closer to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam compared to Musa alayhi salam. One thing that we should keep in mind is that the original Torah and the original Injil, both of these books had a deep and a detailed description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The original Torah and the original Injil, the actual Bible, and the Old and New Testament, they had a deep description about and a detailed description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only did they have a description about him, when we were doing the story of Umar radiallahu anhu, we also learned that they also had a description about Umar radiallahu anhu. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu was able to take over, conquer Palestine without a war, without nothing. They just wanted to see if Umar radiallahu anhu was the actual person that they read about in their books. And when they matched the qualities, when they saw him and what they read about him in their book, it matched 100%. They handed over the keys. Here are the keys to our country. So a detailed description about Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned in these books. But unfortunately, you don't find this anymore. That's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he got his first revelation, Khadija radiallahu anha took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to her cousin, and he was a priest. He was a person who was very, very well versed in the Bible. And when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just a few questions, he didn't go in a lot of detail, few questions, right away he said, "Glad tidings that you are a prophet of Allah." So all of that description has been mentioned in the books, but we don't find that anymore. The only reason why they did not follow Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the only thing that was against them, was Quran mentions about it, that they felt that the Prophet was going to be from amongst them. And he did not come amongst the Bani Israel. He ended coming from amongst the Arabs. And as a result, as Quran says, يَعْرِفُونَهُمْ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ. They recognized him. When they read, whatever they read about him, and when they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they recognized that he is a prophet of Allah, just like how people recognize their own children. You know, you have 10 kids. You know who's your kid. You know who's your child. You have 100 kids, you still can tell who your child is. You have 1,000 kids, you still know who your child is. They recognize the Prophet ﷺ like that. One dua that we should always make is رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. It's a dua of Quran. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Oh Allah, please never take us, snatch away hidayah from us after giving us hidayah. They had hidayah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it away from them. They understood what was right and wrong, but yet it was only because of that enmity they had. As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them go astray. Similarly, we should always keep making this dua, that we don't know in these times of fitna how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep our iman. If we also start boasting that, you know, we're great and we're like this and we're like this, we don't know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away iman from us. Always make this dua, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of learning and acting upon these verses of Quran which we have recited today. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We'll take a few minutes, inshallah, for questions.
Can you elaborate a little more on the said that Christian and Jewish, if they believe on one God and they still believe on their teaching of the Prophet? Is it correct what I understood?
The question is, as far as the Ahli Kitab are concerned, the Christians and Jews, that if they believe in one Allah and they believe in the teachings of that Prophet, that they will go to Jannah? Yes. That is correct. That's what Quran says. So, as far as having this belief of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one, and believing in the actual teachings, the original teachings that were found in the original text of the Torah and the Injil. If they follow that, yes, they will go to Jannah. But, like I said, today, the original teachings of the Torah and Injil don't exist anymore. And if that was the case, then they would also know about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because it would have been mentioned. So, if you look at it, even during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Torah and the Injil that existed, that was something that were to be followed because all of the descriptions of the Prophet alayhi salam and everything else that does not exist today existed at that time.
Okay, that's a question. That's fine. Even if they don't believe on the Prophet alayhi salam, suppose on one person has, you know, original books or they follow it. I'm just asking to understand.
Right. If a person, he doesn't have, you know, he has, as the brother is saying, that he believes, you know, in the original text of the Bible and or the Injil, the Torah or the Injil, and he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and he doesn't believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would he still be going to Jannah? Then the scholars have both opinions. One opinion is, since the ayahs say yes, so according to that, yes, he will be going to Jannah. But majority of the ulama still have the opinion that he's still not believing in one more prophet, which is also essential. Following is one thing, and believing is one thing. If he believes in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet of Allah, then yes, he will be going into Jannah as well.
Are the books that were revealed to Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam uplifted once these prophets passed away, or can we still find the original Torah and Injil?
As far as finding the original Torah and Injil, they're not being uplifted, they have just been changed. Now, as far as finding the original text of the Torah and Injil, you won't find that anywhere in the world.
If a person is reading the Quran and somebody else said Assalamu alaikum, could he respond or not?
Good question. As far as if a person is reciting Quran and someone walks in and he says Assalamu alaikum, should the person who is reciting reply? No, he should not reply. He should reply afterwards. And at the same time, a person should know that if you see a person reciting Quran, then don't say salam.
similar question if a non-Muslim will just say Assalamu alaikum.
People used to say that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, non-Muslims during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would say Assalamu alaikum. So in response to that, the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam would just say Wa alaik. He wouldn't say Wa alaikum salam. He would just say Wa alaik. When they would say salam to you, salam to him, he would say back on to you. That's it.
Find today that there are many people, they are like really good human, they believe in God but they don't practice, but practically they are really good human and they spend like very good life, charity or whatever, like Mother Teresa.
Right.
What will happen to those people?
The same question was asked to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Prophet of Allah, there are people who may believe in God, who may not believe in Allah, but they are very good people. They help out a lot of people, they do a lot of charity work, they do, you know, they take care of so many people, orphans, this, that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate them in this world, they won't have anything in the hereafter. Whatever they want, whatever they get, they will get everything here, but they won't have anything in the hereafter for it.
I have a question that's not related to this topic, and you can answer this at the end. It's about usually for Jummas and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. People get ready, go to work, and most people use the public washrooms and stuff. So under what circumstances is a bath necessary? Because once you're outside the house, you're in public space, right? And so what's okay, what's not okay? And then you do the wuzu before the Jummah.
Right. As far as using public washrooms, and whether it be for Jummah or for any other salah in that matter, you try your best to, you know, protect yourself from, you know, getting any type of uncleanliness, any type of najasa on your body or on your clothing. If, for example, you enter into the bathroom, you see some urine on the toilet seat, on the floor, you wipe it and you clean it, right? And then you use the bathroom. Now you go and perform your wudu and you start your salah. If now, as you're performing your salah, shaitan sometimes he starts whispering in your head that, you know, what if you, after wiping the bathroom, you left a spot and maybe it got on your clothes or it got on your shoe or if something. So now he's playing with your mind. Now you're not sure, what should I do? Should I go and clean myself again? Should I? No. If you have done your part, right, first of all, if you want, go into the washroom and you don't see any najasa, you don't see nothing there, right? You have nothing to worry about. But if you do, you do your best to clean, and then after that you perform your wudu, you start your salah, no problem. Similarly, if you're going in the park and you need to perform salah, you start performing salah on the grass. As you're performing the salah, you're thinking to yourself, what if a dog urinated? Or he did something over there. So, I don't know if my salah will be accepted. If you know that the ground is dry, you don't see any evidence of anything that is impure, perform your salah, there's nothing wrong. So, as far as having doubts, that won't break your salah, nor would it break your wudu. Many times it's just doubts. Because of the doubts, we don't want to, you know, we feel that we need to take a shower, we need to do this. Like I said, if we know as a fact that there is najasa, impurity there, we do our best to wipe it, to clean it. Once that has been wiped and cleaned, then we don't have to worry more. Sharia doesn't go in the details of, you know, making sure that it's like this and like that. Then you know, you do your part, then leave it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Of course, small tissue
piece. Yes, I mean, you should do that, and many of the washrooms have that now, that you even get the toilet cover, the seat cover. You know, in Chicago, I was at the airport and they have it automatically. It's the only place I've seen it. That every person who goes into the washroom, automatically a new toilet seat cover comes on. You know, you get like the thin cover, right? So many times they have it and you have to pull it out and then you have to put it. It's automatic. The people of Chicago are more clean.
It's one question. Is there a difference between a Nabi and a Rasul?
The question is there a difference between a Nabi and a Rasul? Yes, there is a difference. The difference is that a Rasul is a person who is he is a person who is a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he follows the same sharia or the same book that was given to the other person, to the prophet. Now, a Nabi is a person who receives a new revelation, he receives new laws. Right? For example, Musa alayhi salam, he was a Nabi, and he received the Torah. His brother was just a messenger. He was just a Rasul, Harun alayhi salam. So Harun alayhi salam, he followed the teachings of Musa alayhi salam. He did not receive any new book. Musa alayhi salam, he received a new book, he received a new sharia. Harun alayhi salam was a follower of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Even though Musa alayhi salam was younger than Harun alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam was older than Musa alayhi salam. So in other words, every Nabi is a Rasul, but not every Rasul is a Nabi. Every Nabi by default is a Rasul. Every Prophet by default is a messenger. But not every messenger is a Prophet, because they don't receive a new sharia.
The question just came to my mind. So Harun alayhi salam, so for Musa alayhi salam, we know the whole story, how he escaped being put to death by Firaun, right? What about Harun alayhi salam, if he was his real brother?
Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, he was born before Firaun. He actually thought of doing something like this, of executing, you know, the boys of Bani Israel. Harun alayhi salam was born before that.
So you know that you're not supposed to pray Fajr during the sunrise is happening, or it's you're supposed to pray afterwards or before. So, well, the time.
Not like, afterwards.
Well, I mean.
You missed it then.
Before, yeah, you missed it. But the time I'm waking up is just like it's right before sunrise, and for the past few days I've been praying Fajr right before maybe sunrise, but I'm not exactly sure if I should read it at that time or skip it. Or, I mean, not skip it, but, you know, maybe call that out later.
Sunrise is at 7:25.
Yeah.
So you pray your Fajr before 7:25. 7:24 is your cutoff.
Right. Okay.
So wake up at 7:15.
Is it not? Because remember, some time back you mentioned for the Maghrib and Fajr, some white lines and everything.
That is for Isha.
That's for the Isha.
That's for Isha.
Not for the Fajr.
For Fajr as well, that's where the time of Fajr actually comes in after the second light. That's when the time of Fajr. He's talking about when the time of Fajr is finishing, is ending. The time of Fajr comes to an end when the sun rises. The time of Fajr comes in when the white line comes across in the horizon.
Even though the sunrise is 7:25, but you can see the light like
right, so until 7:24, to be on the safe side, 2 minutes before, you should complete your prayer.
So during that time, that makruh time, when making sajda is...
That's haram time.
Haram, yeah.
That's haram time. No salah, no sajda could be done at that time. Until 10 minutes after sunrise at least.
Even if it is a sajda tilawat?
Anything.
So what if you don't know, if you can't keep track of time, and if you perform salah?
Keep a watch.
Like, is there a sin or it's just...
Yes,
it's
It's your responsibility.
So we have to repeat that.
Of course.
After knowing that the salah was invalid. So.
Do you
know why this time was haram? Yes. Rasulullah, the question is that why are these timings haram? There are three timings, right? Sunrise, sunset, and zawal, midnoon, when the sun is right in the middle. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that shayateen, they worship shaitan at that time. That's the reason.
Today, Supreme Court has reactivated that if a person is in severe pain, he is not dying, so he can request the doctor to finish his life. This is something, how you elaborate?
The question is, as far as life support is concerned,
yeah.
As far as life support is concerned, if most of it all depends on the physician or the doctor itself. If the doctor, after putting the patient on life support, feels that there is no chance for this person to survive, feels that there is no chance to survive, and they know that he's just going to be on life support until we don't take out the plug, or until, you know, whenever he dies, then in that case, the fatwa that I have received is that you can take out the plug and the person can just die. However, if there are chances, even if there is a little bit of a chance of that person recovering or coming back to life, or, you know, or getting better from the situation, then in that case it's not permissible. Then it won't be permissible to take out the life support. Then keep him on the life support, if there is any chance of him to survive. All of this will depend on the doctor himself.
Clinical death.
Right.
So, it looks like his cell phone battery is down to the right.
Who's? Sound base?
Yes, no. We're not getting too much messages also.
Yeah, today we don't have many messages from the other side. They asked a lot of questions last week, so this time it was our time.
Maybe just last question.
Yeah.
Hudus Aslam was a Bashar, we know that.
Right.
But we have a group called them like made of Noor.
Right.
So, who's right?
The question is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was at the end of the day a human being. There are a group of people who call Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam Noor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, he says, Allahu Noor as-samawati wal-ard. Allah is Noor. Same thing, that taking an attribute of Allah and applying it on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Quran is that clear, that Allahu Noor as-samawati wal-ard, the chapter is over, the quest, you know, everything is done. But now to go in the details that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was Noor, because, you know, and where do they get this, that he was Noor? They get it from that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he entered into Medina, tanawwara kulla shay, sahaba, they say that everything became brightened because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They meant it in the sense that, you know, spiritually we are all uplifted. That's what they meant. They didn't mean it in the literal sense. So they take that into consideration, and then they say that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, you know, all of Medina, it just went down. Everything, it seems like the lights went off. But that wasn't the case. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not in charge of the electricity. This is the way how they portray it. That, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was Noor, he had the same attribute of Allah. Na'udhu billah, the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam did not have the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. So just a reminder, I'm sure many of us, or in fact all of us, know that inshallah tomorrow after Salat al-Dhuhr we'll be having Quran competition. Please come and bring your families as well, inshallah.